All right, what's going on, guys? You're here for episode 12 of the Boss Talk, fitting episode 12, number 12, Tom Brady, AFC champions. I'm Evan Singleton alongside Sean Palmer. Let's hit it, episode 12. Let's talk some football. She was like a fresh sip of lemonade, polka dot bikini, sun kissing on her face. Smooth criminals wanna play with Billie Jean. She's a pretty young thing, let me tell you about the truth. She said she's too dope. All right, shout out to my guy, 918. Head over to 918 Official and check him out on Instagram. He just put on a show in December, too. This guy is the next big thing, I'm telling you. Head over to 918 Official. All right, Sean, what's going on? We are AFC champions, and yes, I said we. We'll get into that a little bit later. You know, we, us, as part of a sports team. But, Sean, let's start with the NFC today because we don't exclude here. We got to talk a little bit of NFC, and then we'll get into our boys, the Patriots. So, you know, if we were to replay, maybe I can throw it in here. Probably not. Too much work. But a couple episodes ago, maybe even way early, probably. Sean, you predicted a Pats-Saints Super Bowl. And we were talking pre-show here that you said a couple episodes ago. But now that I'm thinking about it, I feel like that was your call from the get, from the beginning of the season, wasn't it?
Or close to. I mean, knowing how I predict, it probably came like 3 years ago. Because when it comes to that thing, I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty damn good at it, and I think we got robbed of my prediction yesterday.
Yeah, if you don't know Sean adopted the name Wizard Palmer just because of his crazy predictions, being able to predict anything at the drop of a hat. It's pretty remarkable. But Sean, so what exactly are you talking about when you say your prediction got robbed yesterday?
You know, the Saints were driving. There's about a minute left in the game. I apologize for not remembering the score, but the Saints were in great shape. Drew Brees throws to the right side, right near the end zone, and this guy gets absolutely laid out. It was the most obvious pass interference I have ever seen. It was borderline like he was going to kill the guy. Helmet to helmet.
Yeah.
No call. Four refs looking right at him. No call.
Interesting that you say that, too, because it not only was pass interference. There's a few things that happened. So what it was like a wheel route where the back kind of came out. Linebacker had to go and cover him or something, you know, whatever. A safety was on him. So Drew Brees leads the guy perfectly. And then I think it was Joyner, maybe? LaMarcus Joyner or whatever his name is. I could be wrong. But he comes in, doesn't even look at the ball, and clips the guy before the ball even gets there. So here are the things. First off, that could have been a pick six if he just wanted to play good defense. But he didn't.
Exactly.
Second, that's that he didn't turn around to play the ball. First penalty, right? Second penalty, he absolutely killed the guy. The guy had no chance at making the catch. Pass interference. Second penalty right there. Third penalty, he took his head out. Completely speared him. This was a miss from the refs, and not that they were on fire at all the season or these games, because this was just another one of those misses, because they were missing a lot. But that this was crazy because it literally decided the game and messed
and
up your predictions.
And I think he said today that he thought it was going to be a touchdown, so he decided just to take him out.
Yeah,
just to get the ball out of there.
Right, which it's like, yes, that's actually a good defensive play. Like, people don't realize that you know, like last night the Patriots, I think they said early on, they're like, or Bill Belichick had told the media that they might take a few penalties holding Tyreek or something like that. Or maybe it was just the commentator, Tony Romo, doing his thing. But, yeah, it's like, that's kind of a smart defensive play, but then he doesn't get a flag. You can see it. Even when he breaks it up, like, he doesn't celebrate or anything like that, because I have a feeling he just thought he was going to get flagged. Like you said, he's just trying to stop a touchdown.
Like, that was unbelievable. And I thought that was game right there. It would have put them at first and goal. They would have ran the clock out, kick a field goal, score a touchdown. The game was over. The Saints were heading to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I feel horrible for Saints fans. They've been kind of supporting Patriots Nation all year. They kind of give the Falcons shit.
Yeah.
I love that fan base.
We wanted back-to-back years
to get their heartbreak.
Yeah, we wanted Drew Brees and Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. That would have been electric. I will say I'm a little bit more confident against the Rams, though, aren't you?
To be honest, I am terrified of Donald and Sue coming up the middle to Tom Brady. I am kind of scared of this matchup.
Yeah, I guess I. Okay, we'll get into the Super Bowl talk later, because I, on the other hand, think that this is a more favorable matchup for the Pats. But let's talk about the game. Enough ranting and raving about your prediction being broken. I mean, Sean, you drop the ball every once in a while, all right?
That's just how
it's going to happen. But you know who doesn't drop the ball? Julian Edelman. Let's get into the Patriots and Chiefs. The game was, I'm putting it as a top three game for the Patriots in the last 20 years. The ups and downs, the roller coaster like game, it was unreal. It was incredible to watch, but also suck to watch at the same time. I had maybe 6 or 7 heart attacks during the game. My knees are weak from standing all game. My voice is gone. Like, this is... Where do you rank that game? Do you think it's up there?
That's definitely a top three, if not one of my... I can never outrank the Falcons-Patriots game.
Right.
That's an all-time great, but...
I think
the Malcolm Butler moment, this probably is a top three, to be honest, because it looked like our season was over numerous times, and they came back, and they came back, and then they got the win. It was one of the most satisfying feelings ever to walk away with a win after I thought the season was over times.
When Brady threw the ball through Gronk's hands, and it tipped up, and I think there was like 50 seconds left, and the Chiefs picked it off, and I was like, oh my God, it's over. And then they called the offside or a neutral zone infraction on Ford. That was absurd.
I ran off. I was like, fuck, there's the season. It's over. And then I saw a yellow flag, and I came back to the living room very quickly, and I waited, and it was on the defense. I'm like, oh my God. We have life again.
Because freaking Tony Romo, who was pretty good, but he also just didn't shut his mouth last night. But when that flag came out, he goes, it might be against New England. It's like,
please don't say that.
Dude, no shit, it might be against them. It's against one of two teams.
Could be one of the teams.
Yeah, like, way to go, Tony. And he was like, oh, you gotta run this. And like, Patriots are passing out. He was talking a little bit too much. I kind of like him, but he was talking a little bit too much. But, yeah, that game, the one thing I'll say, I think this goes head-to-head with that Seattle game, because the Seattle game was an awesome game. Brady kind of brought him back, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, if they just won that game normally, it wouldn't have been as cool of a game as this. It took one miraculous, and I mean miraculous, play from Malcolm Butler, you know what I mean, to make that game. And all it takes is one play. I'm not knocking that, but just from a game start to finish, I think this is right up there with it. This game was perfect. The Patriots, you think they're going to demolish them 14-0 and then 17-7. It's like, all right, we got this team handled. But no, you didn't. You know what I mean? Like, they let up 31 points in the second half. That ain't good. But when you pull through, you know, you appreciate a close win if you win it. You know what I'm saying?
So if that defense didn't show up in the first half, we probably don't win that game. Because you don't let up maybe 10, 14 points in the first half, and the Chiefs come out and score 31 in the second, and it's just game over. So props to the defense for the incredible first half.
Oh, 100%. The defense came to play in the first. You know, they did come to – they made plays, and they needed to make them in the second half too.
You can't hold that team down.
One of my favorite plays was, was it Trey Flowers that sacked Mahomes when he needed to – when they were in field goal range? Right?
Took them right out.
And then think about how important that is now. They went to overtime. Three points would have won that game. Now you also think about how Brady will... What if Brady didn't throw that pick in the end zone and that type of thing? So, whatever. But let's talk about a few of these very crucial plays in the game. And we will start with... Let's start with the Julian Edelman one, because we can also talk about some Twitter losers out there right now, all right? So we'll start with the Edelman one. Now, when I saw that happen, I was like, holy shit, fuck, it's over. Like, I thought that was the game. I think it was 17-14 at that point, and I just was done. I was like, I couldn't believe it. And then when they showed the replay, I saw Edelman's reaction right away. We saw Edelman, right, and he was kind of like, I didn't touch it. He knew. I didn't know if he was acting or what, but whatever. Julian Edelman knew he didn't touch that. Did you see anything in the replay that, like, you think he touched it? Because obviously they overturned it, but there's still some... idiots out there, sore losers. I've been calling them. I've been calling them the sore loser vibes out there on Twitter, and people are not liking it. Most people are liking it, but there are people that. Do you think that there's actually a chance that he touched it? Like, be honestly.
Honestly, the replays were so confusing. To you, one angle, it looked like it went off his finger, and then you go off the other angle, it looked like it was about 3 feet above his hand. Like, it was so confusing, but obviously New York saw something. They're not going to just give New England a gimme. They wanted the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, most likely, but they saw something that he didn't touch it. Edelman didn't run after it. I know there's no continuation after a muff punt like that, so Edelman doesn't necessarily have to run after him.
No, but he didn't even try and go get it.
But he didn't even Edelman's a dog. He's going to go after the ball no matter what.
Right.
He didn't even think about it because he knows he didn't touch it, and I believe him in the replays. I saw enough of it where I can see where it definitely didn't hit him.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the fact that they overturned it shows that they had the irrefutable evidence. You know what I mean? And everyone out there that is still... So I tweeted it out earlier today, and I was like, how are people still saying that Edelman touched the ball? There's legit evidence that to refute it, sore losers. And keep in mind, the Chiefs got the ball back, what, 2 plays later?
Yeah, Edelman missed it off his fingers, interception.
2 plays later.
And they got better field position up on that.
And now we got Andrew. His name's Andrew on Twitter. I'm not going to say his handle because I'm not giving you any sort of publicity, dude. You are the biggest D-bag out there. He goes, it literally touched his left index finger, man. If it was Casey, I know all the Patriots fans out there would complain that he touched it. I'll give him a little bit of this. The one thing you can't see in any of the slow motion replays is like where his left index finger was. It's almost cut out by the main angle. But you can see in other angles now that the left index finger didn't even touch it. How much of this guy's pulling it out of his ass? It literally touched his left index finger, and if it was Casey, he knows all the Patriots fan would complain. So I quoted it and I said, wow, just when I thought I'd seen it all. And then he's going on and on. And you know what? It comes down to him saying that the Patriots fans are all a toxic fan base. They don't realize that the refs have given them every single thing they won. Everything Brady has won has been due to luck, apparently. He says, I cheer for all other Celtics all other true Boston sports teams because they don't cheat. This guy, if you follow me on Twitter at FGuyBoston, head over to that tweet where I said, how are people still talking about it? I've also quoted him a couple times, absolutely body bagging him right now because he deserves it. Sean, you know, I only mix it up when it's well-deserved, right?
See, it's got to be a big deal for you to go at it. This guy sounds worse than Max Kellerman.
My thing, literally always on Twitter, my thing is like, whatever, ignore it. All the time. Sean can attest to that. But if I have to mix it up with you and I have to get the hounds out on you, and shout out to my followers that are absolutely body bagging this guy, it means that, you know what, you did something wrong. You crossed me a little bit here. And this guy, if you follow me on Twitter at FGuyBoston, head over to that tweet and you can go find this guy. His name's Andrew, period. That's his name. I'm not going to say his handle because I don't want to give him any publicity.
It sounds like Andrew is on his period.
Yeah, I'd say so. He is an absolute salty loser. Saying that it literally touched it, and then in the video you're providing is that you can't even see that finger. That's me being like, okay, Sean, we can't see what's happening in China right now, but guess what? Okay, someone just robbed a store. Like, okay, what are you talking about? You can't see what's happening. He's just a sore loser, and you know what? He claims that he's a masshole. He's doing the opposite of masshole things. Sean, you're not a masshole. I'm a masshole, though. I'll back up massholes. And this guy's saying he's a asshole? You're not in the club, pal. Get the fuck out of here. And there's another person I mix it up with, too. We'll get into them in a little bit. But it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous how salty these fans can get. And you know what's funny, Sean? It's not even the Kansas City fans. It really isn't. It's like the Patriots haters. I saw a Steelers fan coming at me. I saw a Jacksonville fan coming at me. And it's like, what?
I haven't heard one thing from a Chiefs fan.
Yeah,
so
I can
respect them for that.
And you know what? The calls went both ways last night, and they went both ways pretty shittily. They really did. Gronk was getting held all night. Like,
J.C. Jackson had about 15 penalties against them, so they got plenty of calls both ways.
Wow, you know what, as I say that, a Chiefs fan just kind of came at me and said that there was not evidence that he didn't touch it. Well, that's funny, then I guess the refs just cheated, right? If there was no evidence to this guy, if there's no evidence, then apparently the refs just wanted to give that game to the Patriots.
I can tell you, no ref is going to do any Patriots team any favors.
Yeah, except everyone on Twitter saying the opposite. But I mentioned Gronk, let's talk about him, because people said that he was done, right? He's nothing. Gronk, on one of the most important plays of the game, rises above Eric Berry, the defensive leader of that Chiefs team, and grabs a ball on third down. It was a one-on-one matchup, or maybe fourth down? No, it might have been third, whatever.
Third down.
Okay. Jumps up and grabs it and absolutely just does a Gronk thing. Gronk gronking out there. That was awesome, Sean. What was your exact reaction to that? What did you do? Because I think I jumped and maybe hit my head on the ceiling.
Yeah, I got low ceilings, but I didn't hit my head. I was just, games like this,
I mean, your vertical's not, like, your vertical's just not that high.
Exactly. I am just numb these kind of games. I don't even move. Sometimes I don't even react because I'm just in shock from this type of game, and I don't want to get my hopes up. But that play got me excited. I started thinking, like, okay, we could win this. Like, this could be it. And Gronkowski, he blocked amazing all night. He became the tight end he was all the years before.
Mm-hmm.
He was everything we needed last night. I will hate to see him go after the season if he retires, but I can't ask for any more from him than what he did last night and what he hopefully does in the Super Bowl.
No, let's go get that Super Bowl win, because now we have Gronk and Edelman. Gronk and Edelman.
That's big.
That is massive. What was it? 2 years ago they didn't have Edelman. They had Gronk, though. No, other way around. They didn't have
Edelman. Yeah.
Right, yep. So this is awesome. I'm pumped, because Julian Edelman, we can talk about a question that we got in here, and it's from my guy David White, D. White Medic on Twitter. He's awesome. I love this guy. He goes, where does Edelman rank all time on great Pats receivers? Just in terms of, I mean, honestly, you probably got to give it to Randy Moss, even though he's not like a true been with the team for so long, but he was definitely the best talent, I would say. But Julian Edelman, I'd say I'm creeping up to saying that he's one of, if not the most clutch Patriots receiver. I know postseason receivers, especially. I don't know if that's a hot take, but like, how much have we seen this guy do in the postseason? And Sean, I have a stat for you here. I have a stat for you about Julian Edelman on third down and fourth down, so third down plus. He's 32 of 40, and this is when he gets targeted, right? He's 32 of 42 for 76% catch percentage, almost 500 yards, 2 touchdowns, 10 yards per attempt, and a 116.8 target rating. And out of those 32 for 42, remember when I said it's third and fourth down?
Yeah.
Out of those 32 receptions, 30 first downs. 30 first downs.
He was so big on third down last night.
They ran the same play, it seemed, 3 times. And guess what? You just couldn't stop it. So where do you rank him? I'm just going to take David's question and kind of take it a little bit further. I think that he's the most clutch receiver for the Patriots right now. I do. And I think he's a bona fide Hall of Famer. So, Sean, what do you think?
I think last night, if not, it was already locked in. I think he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. Not only the Patriots Hall of Fame, but Canton Hall of Fame. I know we all love Deion Brandt. I was a little bit younger in those days, as you were as well.
Yep.
So I don't remember as much as what he did, but I know he did a lot of great things. Wes Welker never got the Super Bowl. I know Randy Moss never did, but Randy Moss put up huge numbers. Troy Brown is well-loved in New England. But I'm going to have to agree and say Edelman's going to go down as one of the most clutch, and he's going to go down as probably one of the best Patriots receivers of all time.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to talk just big plays, I think Deion's the only one to
And Danny Amendola as well. He's in the conversation.
Ooh, there you go. Yeah, yeah. But it's just, I don't know, maybe like you said, we're using a little bit of recency bias just knowing Edelman so well, but I don't really care. The guy, I'll tell you one thing, he played harder than all of those guys. All of those names you mentioned, not a single guy tried harder than Edelman. That's a fact. I'll take that to the bank.
He almost fucked up twice last night. He still kept fighting.
Do you remember that big third down? I think it was like the second one they ran, and he just took an absolute helmet to the back, got up kind of slow, just shrugged it off, Sean. Just shrugged it off, walked to the huddle, next play, boom. It doesn't matter with this guy. Edelman is a monster. And the fact that I've seen people saying that he isn't a Hall of Famer, it's like, well, what are you looking for? A multiple championship winner, a guy with stats like I just said. Like, in the postseason, third and fourth down, 30 first downs on 32 receptions, 2 touchdowns, 10 yards. Like it's third and 10, and you can still throw to this guy. And it's a first down 90% of the time. That's absurd. I can't take the Edelman hate. And it's coming from outside fans. Patriots fans love Edelman.
I think you got to respect Edelman no matter where you're from. And did you see the hit on him after he had deflected the ball for the interception? He got absolutely laid out about like 10 seconds later for no reason at all.
Yeah, no, I did see that.
Absolutely dirty.
I don't remember it too clearly, but I do remember him laying down on the ground, and I was like, oh, boy. But he's that type of guy. He wants the other team to, like, you know what I mean? Do you remember when he was mic'd up in the Seahawks Super Bowl when he gets crunched by, like, Bobby Wagner?
He's like, hit me.
He's like, I love getting hit. It's like, wow. It
scares you.
I'm sorry, but Troy Brown was not saying that. Edelman has, so I guess we didn't really do a great job of just placing him, like, where does he rank? But I'm going to say that there's no one that, Edelman does things that no one else does. Maybe no receiver in history, the way that he grinds. You know what I mean? So that's how I'll answer David's question. I don't necessarily want to speak to guys that I don't have as much, notes on or knowledge about. But Edelman does things that I just think it's incredible what he does, because he's this guy that people are saying, oh, he's getting up there. You know, he's almost 30. He's slowing down. What a blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? He looked like a 22-year-old fresh out of college, like former Heisman winner yesterday. I think he's 30, 31 or something. He's older than most of these receivers out there today, and yet he's still moving and playing at a level of a way younger guy.
And he's a former quarterback at Kent State. So
yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. And he's literally extended Brady's career just by him existing.
The fact that there was no transition between Welker and Edelman, like no, you know what I mean? It was like, boom, Edelman took over seamlessly.
That says a lot about him.
You know what? He might even be, I don't know. I think he's done a lot more than Welker now. I don't know about pure talent, But
you know, Welker's a traitor, never won a Super Bowl, so you know, I'm on to Edelman.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I love me some Jules. I do. We have a shirt on the site right now. I think it says "Can't Stop, Won't Stop" with a picture of Edelman's face. Head over there, guybostonsports.com/store. Sean, let's talk about let's get into the second hater of this episode, right, on Twitter. And this is a I can't even say this with a straight face. So one of the latter things that he or she, I don't know who it is. I don't discriminate when I go after someone. It could be a boy or girl. So he says, let's just use he for the sake of making it easy. He says, this is one of the last things he said, and it's hilarious. He goes, he drops a, so what I said was bet against us. As the Patriots opened as 1-point underdogs, I think that's already changed. But he said, I said, keep betting against us. And then he just has to go, us? What are you, on the roster? There's always that one loser out there, isn't there, Sean?
Absolutely. Can't let a guy have fun here.
No, like, I get it. You're not on the team. You can't say us. Well, too bad. You know what? If you want to say us, I'm fine with that. I say it probably 50% of the time. If you don't want to say us, that's fine. But you don't have, you never want to be that loser that's like, oh, what, us? Are you on the team? That's how you get punched in the face in my friend group. You be that loser. So I had to quote him. I go, there's always this type of loser out there. And boy, oh boy, again, I got to think of a name for some of these people that have my back that follow me, because I didn't even have to say anything. And all of a sudden they just jump on this guy. And then you know what he does? He goes and says that anyone that says the word us or we, they're douchebags. And I was like, okay, man, that's not okay. So now I'm coming after you even more. And you know what? I don't think he's tweeted since. I think I literally got this guy or gal off Twitter. And the funny thing is now this is the thing I couldn't say with a straight face. So he is a New York Rangers, Atlanta Braves, and Miami Dolphins fan. And then he says, well, when my teams win, I'm not going to use the word us. And I felt like,
I wouldn't either. They're trash.
But I also was like, I mean, dude, they're just never going to win. Like, what are you talking about? Like, are you serious? You couldn't, you're, that's pitiful. You think your Miami Dolphins are winning a Super Bowl anytime soon? Once I saw that, I was like, oh, that's why he's coming after the Patriots. And again, it's not even Chiefs fans, except for this dweeb that just messaged me now with like 16 followers. So, yeah, I'll refrain from that one. But again, it's not even Chiefs fans. It's like just Patriots haters. You hate us because you ain't us. That's what it is.
If you're a Rangers, Braves, and Dolphins fan, you need to get some help.
Like, what? I mean, you're all over the place, for starters. That's someone that just has no sort of heritage in their sports. They're like, oh, I just want to be that team, and that team. Like, okay, pal, whatever you say, dude. But yeah, that was two of those. I mean, this is the first time in a while that I was like, you know what, screw it. I'm going to get into it on Twitter, because you know what? I love Twitter. I love the followers. Even when I tweet stuff and people shit on it, I'm not even like, yeah, whatever. You know, you're entitled to say what you want. But when you're trying to bring others down for using the word us, you know what? Fans feel like they're part of the team. Me and you, we cover the teams. Guess what? A little bit fraction of us feel like we're part of the team. The team doesn't think that. No one else thinks that. But guess what? Deep down, everyone thinks that they're part of the team. It's what
it
is.
We let the outcome affect our lives, so therefore we deserve to say us.
One guy brought it up perfectly. He says, I've spent hundreds/thousands, so I hope he just meant thousands, not like hundreds of thousands, but whatever, to each his own. He's like, I've spent thousands of dollars on this team, watching them. They've occupied over 40 years of my life. I'm allowed to say us. And you know what? Good point. Another good point. You know what? These players don't have jobs. These leagues don't sell out. They don't even exist without fans. So another good point. You're allowed to say us. If you say us or we, like we need to do this, or no, you can't beat us. Well, guess what? You're not a douchebag. The Boss Talk boys right now are allowing you. We're solidifying the fact that you're allowed to say that. So you're welcome.
Exactly. We're all part of a team here. Without us, there is no them. Therefore, we are a team, and that's the way it's going to be.
Right, and it's just, it is what it is, you know what I mean? If you're going to say us, or if say you don't like saying us, I'm fine with that. Just don't be the guy that says, oh, you're on the roster, right? Like, come on, get lost, or come and me get buried on Twitter. You pick. So, Sean, let's talk some Super Bowl. Let's get a few minutes here out of that. What are your Super Bowl predictions now? You can't say, because let's flash back. I think I said... Did I say that the Patriots, we'll have to check the tapes, but I definitely said that they weren't going to win the Super Bowl, or I didn't think they were. I don't know if I said they weren't going to make it to the Super Bowl. We'll have to fact check that. But you've definitely been more on the Pats, go Pats team than I have. Not that I've ever shit on the Pats, but I've just kind of like, you know what I mean, almost a little bit more pessimistic, right? So what do you think now? Like, are you full steam ahead? Let's go beat the Rams. Like, what are you thinking? Because I know you said, we'll get back to what you said, you're a little bit scared about that defensive front.
Absolutely. And last year, you know, I'm like, Nick Foles, Eagles, game over, Patriots win the Super Bowl. I'm probably not going to be that cocky again this year. I think the Rams are a good team. I do think it is slightly a better matchup for our defense against Jared Goff. I think he can make some mistakes. Yep. Drew Brees scares me. I mean, both teams have great weapons, but the thing I brought up earlier was the defensive lineman and Aaron Donald and Sue, who's the dirtiest player on the planet, rushing the middle. Tom Brady does not like when guys are coming up the middle. We do not want Brady rolling out to the right or the left. So our offensive line has been like, it's been ridiculously good. It's been awesome. Brady has not been knocked down in weeks. That's probably going to change the Super Bowl. But if we can contain them, I think we'll be all right. But it makes me nervous. I still think we're going to win the Super Bowl. Brandon Cooks is going to lose back-to-back Super Bowls on two different teams, but I'm nervous about the matchup.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. So, you know, I had taken the Pats to win the Super Bowl at very good odds after they lost to the Lions. And then I doubled down on that after they lost to Tennessee, Sean. So I got some money riding online. And guess what? I had done the exact same bets for them to win the AFC. So I made some cha-ching last night. So you know what? Screw anything I've said all season, anything I said about, you know what, I just don't think they're going to get there, I don't think this is the team. I was wrong. I was incredibly wrong. I never necessarily lost hope. You know, I want to make that clear. Like, I think I always had said, I'm not trying to shit on the Patriots, I'm just giving you my honest opinion. That was what it has always been. Like, this is what I'm feeling. Well, guess what? Now I'm feeling like they're going to win it. The way they play, this is a completely different football team these last 2 weeks. Right? Like,
what, they had, like, 90 plays last night? Like, that's almost like Falcons, like Super Bowl.
They've combined for like 15, near 16 minutes in their last two opening possessions. Like, they just
don't give the Patriots the ball. I don't know what they're thinking.
Oh, shout out to Matthew Slater for being undefeated in overtime coin tosses.
All about those tails.
Heads. He calls heads.
Does he? I thought it was tails.
No. But, I think that this team, it's like, if you were going to tell me that they were to play like they did against the Chargers and then also back that up and play very similar against the Chiefs, at least late in the game, I would tell you that I was crazy earlier on. So you know what? I'm full Patriots steam ahead. Let's go. I mean, I just feel like the Rams matchup is way better. So you're saying you're afraid of that defensive front. Fine. I understand that. You know what I mean? Like, that's a point that you can't get me to argue. You're right. That is a really good defensive front. But you know what? The Rams secondary, their best Marcus Peters, he kind of stinks. Like, he's supposed to be their next best
that guy's
corner.
A douchebag.
He's been terrible. He's been so bad. The Rams get a little sloppy on defense. We saw that penalty. You know what I mean? That's not going to fly again. They're going to be watching for that. I think that other than those front two guys and even Dante Fowler, so those three guys, you know, I think that this defense is really good, but that Saints offense terrifies me. You say that the Rams defensive front scared you? Well, guess what? That Saints offense terrified me. And guess what? I'm so glad we're playing Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, who's been stinking. You know what I mean? CJ Anderson has been their better back the last two playoff games. And I'm just glad we're playing them. I'm not nearly as
I will
afraid.
Take those two over Kamara and Ingram.
Yeah, I mean, it's
as far as wanting to play them.
Yeah, right. Because those guys, Kamara and Ingram, are incredible. Especially with Gurley. Like, Gurley was banged up at the end of the year, and he doesn't look like he's 100% yet. You know what I mean? So I don't even think we're getting a full 100% Todd Gurley. Now, we got a couple of weeks. He might be fine. Sure. I'm not trying to knock the Rams. Like, they're in the Super Bowl for a reason, right? I think I even said it was going to be a Rams. Me and you were half right, half wrong, because I predicted a Rams-Chiefs Super Bowl. You predicted a Pats-Saints Super Bowl.
From what I remember, you picked you had the Lions in the Super Bowl, and then you had, I think, of the Jets. I'm not positive. We're going
to
go back
and
check.
Man, we might have to check. Now you're going to make me. I said that it was going to be too much work to go fact check, but geez, you're going to pull it stops like that. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I was like, the Seattle Supersonics might make it there.
They might make a bounce back. I don't know.
I think me and you actually are 50-50 on these Super Bowl predictions. You know, we should have just stuck to one or the other. But yeah, the thing is, it's like, I'm way more, like, the Saints would put up maybe 70 points in Atlanta. I really believe that. Like, they have such a high-powered offense. They're playing in the dome. Who knows? Like, they're going to, it's like, I don't know. It's, we saw last week, right? I don't know if anyone's actually drawn this line yet, Sean. We saw last week Brady taking on the young phenom, the greatest of all time taking on the young phenom. Look what we got now. Bill Belichick, the greatest coach of all time, taking on the young phenom. We've seen this story before. It just happened yesterday. Time to flex.
Time Sean McVay.
Yeah.
Guy's a football machine. Not even sure if he knows his name, but he knows football.
He's the Patrick Mahomes of coaches right now. They're both going to be super good. I'm not knocking Mahomes. Mahomes is awesome, and Brady likes him, too. Brady went and talked to Mahomes after the game. But you know what? Sean McVay, this is his first Super Bowl. Jared Goff, this is his first Super Bowl. A lot of these guys on the Rams, first Super Bowl. You know whose first Super Bowl it isn't? It's not Bill Belichick's first Super Bowl. It's not Tom Brady's first Super Bowl. It's not Rob Gronkowski's first Super Bowl. Guess what? It's not Chris Hogan's. It's not Julian Edelman. This team has experience over that. The Saints, I can't say the same. Sean Payton, Drew Brees, like, they have that Super Bowl experience. I'm very thankful. So I was rooting for the Rams. I know you might have wanted your prediction to be correct, but I was rooting for the Rams, and I'm very glad that they pulled it off because I just don't think that they're as good of a team. You know what I mean? I think they got a little bit lucky, and I just, yeah, that's what I believe. What do you think of that?
Definitely think we're in a better shape as far as our defense covering, going after Jared Goff. I know people like to call Tom Brady a system quarterback, and I'm kind of offended by that when people say that, but I'm almost kind of thinking that Jared Goff might be a system quarterback. I really haven't figured it out yet, but Sean McVay is such a good game planner, and Goff shows times where he's so bad.
Yeah,
but sometimes he just excels with those schemes. So I'm not sure about him. He could be awful, or he could throw 5 touchdowns.
Sean,
I really don't know.
At times, he has absolutely stunk. Like, really. That could be this game. Like, Jared Goff could go out there, nerves are too much, and absolutely lay an egg. Drew Brees, I don't think he would do that. So I'm more afraid of a high-powered offense than I am 3 defensive playmakers on the front against defensive offensive line that has been playing very well. So call me crazy, but I'm thinking the Patriots are going to win this one by double digits. I think we're finally going to get a nice, not relaxing, but just Super Bowl that we're in control of. Finally. I think so.
And today I was like, oh, shit, I got to watch another Super Bowl, the Patriots. Like, I get so riled up. I get so nervous. Like, I'm like, I don't know how many more years my heart can take this.
I know. People think it's good being a Patriots fan. Oh, my God, they put us through the ringer.
We'll be lucky if me and you live till we're 40. Like, I don't know what's going to happen.
I know.
Tom Brady is killing us softly.
I know. But you know what? We'll take it. I'll live till 40 and get these rings. Sean, any last thoughts? We got some Patriots talk out of tonight's episode.
I just want Tom Brady's his career is coming full circle. He starts off against the Rams 17 years ago. He beats the Rams. Now it's 17 years to the date. He'll be back facing the Rams.
Opened as underdogs.
Absolutely. And you know, Bob Kraft bought this team 25 years ago. And if he didn't buy this team was heading to St. Louis to be the Rams.
25 years ago today, I believe. I remember thinking that if they had lost this game, it would have been like their season. I mean, he still would have had the team 25 years, but it's a lot cooler that their season's still going.
This team wouldn't have existed without Kraft, so I just want to thank Kraft, because I don't know what I would be doing in January and February.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be watching playoff football.
What would we? We'd probably be like Bills or Jets, something fan like that, and then we'd hate it.
I could be like a multimillionaire living on a beach, because my priorities would be probably a little more straight.
Yeah, you'd have another work day that you could just grind instead of just watching the Pats.
Exactly.
But all right, Sean, let's close up here. You can follow Sean on Twitter at PalmerGuyBoston. Follow me on Twitter at FGuyBoston. GuyBostonSports on Twitter at GuyBostonSports. And we're seeing some growth with our podcast page. We just started it. We revamped the episode or the podcast. So we have, you know, probably 150 followers on there now. Definitely trying to get that up. That's where we take questions and whatnot. But head over there. It's The Boss Talk. BOS. That's just one S in The Boss Talk. The Boss Talk. Thank you guys for tuning in. And you know what? Go Pats. Sean, hopefully our next podcast, we're talking about Super Bowl winners.
Here we go. Ride the wave.
Ride the wave. Let's go.